Previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
We bring in our friend Dr. Sam, Sam Ristich from the Indian Prairie Animal Hospital. Here is Dr. Sam's theme song.
If you're looking when it's time to have your pets vaccinated, you can also find the best time to spay or have your male just castrated. I found a doctor. He's a vet. You can bet it's a must. You can trust what he says. With all his info, the Indian Prairie Hospital out in Aurora, Dr. Sam.
Live from downtown Chicago, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, 510 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Andrea Darlis. Dave Ennett's here, Nick DiGilio, Vic Bonin News, Kevin Ross producing the program. Orion's with us today, and Mary Vandeveld back from vacation. Welcome back, Mary.
Oh, thanks. Good to be back.
We missed you big time.
Oh, thanks. I kind of missed you guys. Yeah, I did.
We missed you. Nick DiGilio's here as well. Hopefully you guys survived the storms. We're going to be talking about storm damage in just a little bit. Possible tornado touching down in Gray's Lake. That incident in Wooddale at a street festival. One person killed when a tent collapsed. And ComEd still working to restore about 18,500 customers still in the dark.
My friends who live in Rogers Park, their car got smashed by a tree.
Unbelievable.
In Rogers
Unbelievable.
Park.
We're going to be talking about storm damage in just a little bit, though. First of all, let's get to Tom Rivers, ABC News. Let's hear the latest on Malaysia widening the search for the plane debris. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Yeah, that's at the behest of the Malaysian authorities saying, look, if you're on a different part of the island, Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean, please, please have a look. Check things out. And we're expecting many false leads. We thought yesterday that maybe part of a aircraft door had been located, which would have been very, very important. But it turns out it was just a twisted piece of metal from an average domestic ladder. So, we're going to have a bunch of those things popping up. But maybe, just maybe, something of import will be plucked off of the beach and saying, look, this looks kind of strange. And, investigators will come along and ship it off to France and see exactly if it's part of the plane. If it is, it may help investigators try to establish, locations, cause, you name it.
Yeah, Tom, and last week when we talked, they had taken that piece of the plane and brought it to France so they could look into it a little more closely. And we did confirm over the weekend it was, in fact, part of MH370. I immediately thought that, too. They're going to start finding little pieces of debris now, and everybody's going to be saying, oh, that's got to be part of it. That's got to be part of it. Not necessarily, because look at how long it took to find this.
Exactly. And it doesn't mean that everything's going to go to Reunion. It could go to, if this stuff was floating and it's been floating for months upon months now, 16, it could go to other parts. It could bypass Reunion, go to Madagascar, you name it. But if something doesn't look, normal, people are asked to, inform the right authorities. They'll come along, plunk it out, and have it checked out. But today, there's kind of a meeting of minds in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Malaysian officials, French officials, they're meeting today. The actual lab work is going to happen starting on Wednesday. So it's not that fast, but as you said at the top, this thing is from a 777. There's no other missing 777s out there. So I guess Wednesday they'll say, aha, okay, this is the one from 370.
Absolutely. And, you brought up a really good point last week, too, Tom. It's just, this is grueling for the families, too, because many of those families, many were from China, many hoping that they'd be found alive. We could easily say, oh, maybe that's false hope. But I mean, when you're holding on to something, so perhaps this might be a little bit of closure for them now.
Exactly. Kind of a double-edged sword. It will close at least some aspects of their grieving. But again, until a lot of them would say they're not going to be happy until they can deal with the remains of their loved ones. And that may, as you can well imagine, never happen. But it closed the door on a slew of theories as well. So it is a step forward, important step, a sad step for, I guess, these families, but one that they would, I guess, prefer as to not having any kind of evidence whatsoever.
Absolutely. Tom, thank you so much, as always. Be safe out there.
Take care.
We appreciate it. It's ABC's Tom Rivers reporting on the Malaysia Airlines missing flight, the fuselage that they found last week. So we can in fact confirm that it was part of that Boeing 777. All right, almost time for traffic. Mayor, we're happy you're back. You're safe. No mosquito bites?
Actually, the mosquitoes weren't that bad. Horse flies are coming out. They always do in August. And they just attack you in the water. You know, it's weird.
Oh, just in the water.
Just in the water. Okay, yeah, then that's fine. So you got to keep going under the water. Or, it's like, yeah, but the water was warm. The weather was beautiful. It's the first time we've ever had really good weather all week. You know, a little bit of rain, but not much.
You know, and we'll get into storm damage and the rain that happened here right after your traffic, too. But you know what's insane is that I was working at Channel 9 Saturday and Sunday, and yesterday one of the tour guides from the double-decker buses came up and said to me, "Are you covering the dragonfly story?" What? I said, "What's that?" She said, "There are swarms and swarms and swarms of dragonflies over by the museum campus.
What?
That so much so that they had to take the people off the top of the double-decker bus and bring them back down to the bottom." And I did notice yesterday there were just hundreds of dragonflies.
Somebody
never
opened
seen
up
so many.
An exhibit by accident or something?
I don't know. You
let
know.
Them out?
They weren't here for Lollapalooza.
I don't think so. Maybe they were swarming around the Metallica set on Saturday. I don't know.
Is that the name of a band?
You missed all the hoopla, Mary.
Oh, thank goodness.
We played a band Steve was in, band at Lala.
Oh, yeah.
Band but not at Lala. Maybe we can bring it back for you just for
that's
today.
That's okay.
The Swarming Dragonflies.
Yeah.
That's a band Steve was in.
Yes, at Lala.
It's 520, 720 WGN. First hour of the Steve Cochran Show. Severe storms sweeping through the Chicago area, packing high winds, rain, saw some hail way up north as well. Trees were down, power was out, still out to about 18,000 customers without power in Chicago. It's about 7,700 up north, 9,300 and scattered throughout the rest of the area. Possible tornado touching down in the Grays Lake area, that storm blowing pieces of Grays Lake Central High School's roof onto Lake Street, and then we mentioned briefly at the top of the hour, too, about in Wooddale, there was a tent collapse at a street festival. Lollapalooza also evacuated briefly yesterday in Grand Park. Yeah. How about that?
And it was cut short by a half an hour.
You know, and you got to give it up to, I mean, the city of Chicago, Lollapalooza, as soon as they had that threat of storm, everything was stopped and evacuated neat and orderly. And you said your friend was affected, too.
I have friends of mine who live in Rogers Park, mm-hmm. and a large chunk of tree fell on their car and completely didn't demolish the roof of their car, but did a really nice, huge dent in it. And I saw some of the other reports from Rogers Park. Rogers Park got hit bad. This was in the afternoon. This was during the first round of the storms, and Rogers Park got hit bad. North side of Chicago got hit really, really bad and really, really quickly.
It was two strange bursts because it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when Lala was evacuated the first time, right. And then it was bright and sunny. And then again last night as well,
between 9 and 10.
Yeah, and the lightning storm over the lake was incredible.
I was trying to take a nap before work. I had watched my big brother, and then I went back to bed, and I was going to take about 3 hours a nap, and right around between 9 and 10, I thought it was the end of the world.
It was crazy.
There were lightning strikes every minute, and I'm not exaggerating. Like every minute, and the wind was nuts, and there was hail, and it was coming. It was awful.
Very
and
weird storms. Yeah,
another one at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
in the morning.
You saw that too.
Whoa. Yeah,
it wasn't too bad down here. When we get down here around midnight, Dan and I get down here around midnight to do show prep and stuff, and it was okay at midnight, but then it started to get a little crazy.
Right.
And I watched from the seventh floor. I was looking outside to see if it got, and it wasn't horrible, but I mean, obviously there was some stuff in the air.
Yeah. Did you take a big wand and just kind of lean out?
I did. I actually went up the 26th floor, took a wand out and stood up.
Like Harry Potter.
I was waiting for the lightning to hit my forehead so I could get the nice Harry Potter mark on my forehead.
I'll draw it for you.
But it was, you know, and then when Dan picked me up from my place, we were driving down Irving, and east of the intersection that I live at, about a block away, everything was down.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the streetlights, everything. So we missed losing power by a half a block.
Yeah, and there was power, too, right downtown in the city, too, when you exit at Grand, right by Navy Pier. All those lights were out, too.
It's crazy.
For a while. Also, we know there's lots of storm damage as well. We were getting text messages and emails all night as well. The Portillo's in Gurnee was severely damaged.
Oh, no!
As well. Yeah, it was already under construction. The one in Gurnee Mills. So, but again, you know what? Thankfully, out of all of this, no injuries reported.
Yeah.
That's
you know
the
that,
most important thing.
And the dome collapsed in Rosemont.
Yeah, and the, absolutely. Yeah, the Rosemont dome collapsed as well. So, and the high wind advisory, I mean, again, that was out way early in the afternoon. So we knew these high winds were picking up and everything.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you updated on the weather throughout the morning as well. That's going to be the big story at 5:30 with some updates for you as well. But again, thankfully, no injuries reported.
It is 5:42. You guys were talking about the storms last night. Crazy. Really crazy.
Huge lightning show over the lake.
So if you're visiting Chicago, you're just waking up in your hotel room this morning. We deal with this all the time. It doesn't bother us at all, but I was a little scared. It just when it's quiet and there's nothing going on, you hear every bit of the storm.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not exaggerating because I don't make stuff up. There is hail the size of watermelons.
I don't know if they were.
That's not there. An exaggeration.
No.
Well, I didn't look outside, but it sounded like it was there.
They were very small watermelons.
Tiny watermelons. Tiny little watermelons. Tiny underdeveloped watermelons.
You were looking through magnifying glasses?
I never actually bothered to look outside, but man, it sounded like watermelons to me.
Okay.
So, now we have some new monitors set up in the studio, which pretty much prevents me from seeing Dave or Orion.
Right.
So, we got that going for
and
me.
And I'm just kind of moving around so I can see you in between.
Right. You're like Corey Crawford over there just trying to find an opening.
But right. we're innovative, though, too, because I have the Lysol can balancing on the monitor. Otherwise, it would be up in the sky. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank our engineers, though, because our engineers, you know, I want to be one of those guys like Brammeyer used to do this all the time. You just get on the air and bitch about things that are wrong. Our engineers did a nice job. They put new stuff in.
Yes.
So they plugged in new things. Thank you for plugging in new things. So.
And they put new arms on the monitors.
Yeah.
That's what they
my
told
microphone
me.
Boom still has ED though.
Oh.
It still drops off quite a bit.
We call that Limpus microphonus.
Well, whatever you say, Doctor.
Wow.
Welcome back, Mary.
Hi.
Did you enjoy your week off?
I did.
What'd
I
you
had
do?
A great time.
Limpus microphonus.
Yeah. A lot of I don't know what I did. I was in northern Wisconsin, hung out with a lot of animal life. That's
she said
sure.
Mary said all you had to do to avoid the mosquitoes was just stay underwater.
No, that was the horseflies.
Oh, horseflies are horrible.
Oh, yeah, they bite. Ooh.
Were there mosquitoes in Wisconsin? Because
really.
There haven't been any here.
Not many. It wasn't bad at all.
Yes, there have
Well,
been.
We have the mosquito squad come and spray at our place.
There are only three mosquitoes here all summer. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. I still haven't
that's,
been. I still haven't
that's
seen
up one.
Three. No, it's been three.
No, it was two last week.
Not on my count. I've only seen three all summer, and I was outside. I've been outside all summer. I've not been indoors except for last night when the hailing watermelon came down. And I've seen three mosquitoes also.
Hailing Watermelon, that's another band that you were in, right?
Hailing Watermelon?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Kevin, how are you?
I'm fabulous, Steve. Thanks.
Good. Ross Cochran also on deck here. Good morning, son.
Hi, Bobs.
There you go. Show's underway at 5:45. We get to the traffic with Mary, and right after the traffic with Mary, we'll see what movie Nick took his parents to. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. All right, Nick does this thing, this new thing in his new life where he takes his parents to a movie on Saturday, which I think is a great tradition. I think everyone should do it. I think Saturday should be take your parents to a movie day.
Yeah.
So what'd you see?
We saw Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which made $56.9 million over the weekend.
There's actually an internet piece entitled, I think it was Slate maybe. I don't remember where. I don't read a lot of Slate, but it was It's Time to Start Liking Tom Cruise Again.
Well, I never stopped. I'm one of the people that never stopped. So, you know, it's weird, though, because like $56 million for Rogue Nation is one of the biggest Tom Cruise openings of all time.
Okay.
And yet, Ant-Man made more on its opening weekend. So you think about it's weird.
If Tom Cruise were an ant, he would kill.
I'm thinking if Tom Cruise weren't 54 and the target audience to a lot of the action movies, like these Furious 7 movies, they make like $140 million their opening week.
Yeah, you make a good point. Like Russ or Kevin, let's go to the room filled with millennials. Mm-hmm. Your mid-20s friends, do they think Tom Cruise is an old guy, or do they think he's cool, or do they not think about him at all?
I would say I don't think about him at all, like me and my friends, but I wouldn't.
Your friends and you.
My friends and you. I wouldn't think of him as old, no. Definitely not.
Because he's not, he doesn't act, I mean, he and I are the same age. You're not seeing me hanging off the side of an airplane.
You know, the thing about that.
But if there was, you'd go to that movie.
I would.
if you were hanging off the side of an airplane. Hey, by the way, have you seen the video that's making the rounds on YouTube where they edit Chris Farley into the trailer for Mission Impossible?
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious. It's tremendous.
Because at one point in Tommy Boy, he gets his jacket caught. Or no, I'm sorry, that's Black Sheep. Where he gets his jacket caught in the plane door.
Yeah.
And the plane flies off. And so they use that in the...
If you took all the collected energy and the collective effort that goes into memes and photoshopping...
I know, man.
And all the things that go on online, all the diseases would be cured.
Yeah.
And all the troubles of the world would be over.
A lot of people would have jobs.
Ross, any of your friends like Tom Cruise?
No, he's weird.
All right.
The other, you said you
should probably hook Ross up to a microphone.
So that Tom Cruise is 54.
Yeah.
Here's you want to hear something that's going to blow your mind. He's 54.
Is he?
Yeah. Here's something that's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
All right.
That he's the same age as me.
No. Oh. No. Although that's mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Childress. I'll learn to talk at some point.
That's fine.
Considering I'm in the communication.
Well, you just finished the show.
It's very important. Eric Childress posted this on his Facebook and his Twitter last week after he had seen the Mission Impossible movie, which he loved, which all of us loved. And he wrote his lead was he wanted to point out that, you know, like Tom Cruise is 54 and he's hanging off the side of, you know, buildings in the last one.
Did he put a thing in there? Steve Cochran isn't.
No.
Did he throw that in?
No. His opening line was Wilford Brimley was 50 when he made Cocoon.
Yeah,
I want you to wrap your mind around that. Wilford, I'm 50. I just turned 50. Wilford Brimley was 50 when he made Cocoon.
Is it true? My understanding is he didn't wear a lot of makeup either.
I mean, you know, and then that makes sense because I was like, wait a minute, he couldn't have been 50. He had to be in his 70s. But then he'd be 104 now because that movie was like 30 years ago.
It was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. And your math is accurate.
50.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Well, but it's not cool to be 50 and be old now. It was cool to be 50 and be old then. 50 was old when Wilford Brimley made Cocoon.
I guess. I mean, especially.
Plus, he could pull off 75. He just looked like that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, because I always picture Wilford Brimley is one of those guys that always looked old.
Right.
I bet his high school pictures, he probably looks like he's 73 years old.
Well, I've told you many times that when I was five, I used to have to buy beer for my high school friends because I've always looked older. Wilford Brimley had us all beat in that area. I used to see him at the meetings of guys who look older than they are.
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
So you loved it.
I thought it was great.
Okay.
We saw it in IMAX.
Alec Baldwin is a bad guy or a good guy?
Well, he's
hybrid?
He's trying to close down their department. He's like the head of the CIA.
Oh.
And for most of the movie, he's trying to close down their department. And it's like, hey, the IMF.
Sequester
the
funds
IMF,
problems.
Just close them down.
Oh,
all they're doing is like causing all kinds of mayhem and damage. And they're rogue, man. They're rogue. So there's that. But I got to say this. So I took my parents to see it, as I am now. It's sort of like a Saturday thing.
Take your parents to movie Saturday.
That's right. And so we go to see it and in IMAX. Now, my parents have never seen a movie in IMAX before.
Do they feel like they're under attack?
Well, yeah. Now, first of all,
did you make them sit up front? Like
they walked
front
in.
Row?
We were pretty close, yeah. And so we walk in, and my parents are like looking at the screen going, wow, look at the size of this screen. I'm like, yeah, the screen is really big, and the sound is like extra cool and all kinds of cool stuff. So my parents are like, wow. All right, so the trailers start. And before an IMAX movie, they always show, you know, like regular trailers, and then they'll kick in with the IMAX trailers. And that's when they go, now it's time to be IMAXed or whatever the hell they call it, you know. And so the sound kicks in, all right? And they show the first trailer. And IMAX sound, the bass, you can hear it reverberates in your chest. It's really, really, right. It's incredibly loud.
Right.
So my dad, who's one of these guys who, like, if you say something to my dad, he goes, huh? He's one of those guys. He's, like, in his 70s now. So his hearing has kind of,
Or as Orion likes to call him, a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So he's, like, so I think my dad's 73 now. So right. So it's like, huh? You know, like, yeah, hey, Dad, listen, can you pass the salt? Huh?
Right.
That's, so my dad is sitting in the theater, and they play the first trailer, and I think it was Everest, the movie about where you would think it's about climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah, right.
It actually looks pretty great.
Yeah.
So they show that trailer, and it's in IMAX, and it's, you know, people are falling off the mountain.
Yeah.
Trailer ends. My dad leans over to me, and he goes, oh, I'm not going to have any hard time hearing this.
So you didn't get a hat all that movie
his,
long?
No, but that was like his summation of IMAX. I'm not going to have a hard time hearing this.
What did your parents think of the movie?
Loved it. Loved it. Yeah, it's a terrific movie. And I'll tell you what, I would say it's the best movie, or it's the best action movie of the year, except that Mad Max Fury Road came out this year. So. Mm-hmm.
And Fast and Furious 12, Now It's Personal, or whatever the hell that thing is called.
And then number two was Vacation.
Was that as bad as you thought, or you didn't see it?
No, I saw it. And it's not quite, it's terrible. But I actually thought it was going to be like the worst movie ever made.
Entertainment Weekly gave it a B.
No, Entertainment Weekly. What? Was it Gleiberman?
No. Somebody else. I think it was Chevy Chase's agent.
Certainly wasn't Dan Harmon. 14.8 million over the weekend, 21 million because Warner Brothers made that fantastic decision to release it on a Wednesday because that'll boost your box office through the roof.
Because,
you know, so many people on Wednesday went, I got to go see the Vacation movie.
You know, I knew it was a problem when Ed Helms was plugging it on Kimmel last week. Ed Helms brought in a llama.
See, that's funny, though.
It's a distraction bit. You know, it's like, okay, I know my movie sucks. I've got to promote it anyway because I'm contractually obligated.
Yeah.
I bring in a llama, we can talk about the llama instead of the movie, and it takes my friend Jimmy Kimmel off the hook, and all he does is have to play a clip at the end.
Right. Well, it's a really bad movie.
Okay.
Really bad movie. Bad idea from the onset. Just, you know.
But cameos from Chevy Chase and who?
Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo's in it, Leslie Mann.
She doesn't do a
it.
Shower cameo,
no,
does
not
she?
Not at this point, no.
No, okay.
No. But we have Leslie Mann actually plays Audrey, the daughter.
Oh, really?
Who is now all grown up,
that's
obviously.
Right.
And yeah. There are other cameos in it as well. As Keegan-Michael Key is in it.
Why?
I don't know.
What's coming out this week? Anything interesting?
I don't know. No, just the Fantastic Four, which is going to be horrendous from what I hear. It's the Flashback Horror Convention weekend, so I'm going to be there all weekend.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, HorrorCon?
Yeah.
Is it really what it's called?
Well, it's the Flashback Weekend.
But is there a name for this convention thing other than Flashback Weekend? Because that's not a zippy name, really.
It's
is
the
it?
Flashback Horror Convention.
All right.
They're doing an outdoor half of, like, you know what? They have almost all of the actors who played Michael Myers in the Halloween series coming.
Ah, that's exciting. Where will these people
be
wandering around?
That'll be the Crown Plaza Hotel in Rosemont. I'm one of the hosts. I have been since 2002, and so I will be there all weekend. And then,
are you going to be covering this? Didn't you cover for Channel 9?
Oh,
didn't you cover that cosplay thing where the costume people were running around the mascots?
It was Fur Fest.
Oh, that's what
it
was.
Oh, yeah.
Fur Fest, man. That was just eye-opening for me.
There was some sort of problem in the hotel where they had to evacuate, and all these people in mascot costumes came out.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Totally forgot.
And they were wandering around.
Someone set a fire, but they're very particular, I guess I should say, about their costumes and whatnot. You can't, you know, you have to, you if they don't want to be on camera, you can't be on camera because some of their costumes are original. Some won't take the heads off of their costume. So it's very odd.
I have a weakness. I don't know if you know this or not, but
I just want to warn you, whatever you're about to say is out loud and on the air.
Okay. I have a weakness for mascots. They make me laugh. It doesn't matter.
Oh, they make you laugh. Okay.
Oh, no. I fall on the floor. Like, and we happen to have the best mascot in professional sports, in Tommy Hawk.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Hawk is the best. But I don't care where, if it's just some goof on the sidelines wearing like a ridiculous, I laugh every single time.
Yeah.
So that stuff just,
it's a special kind of dedication to put on the sweaty, stinky, old fur costume that's been worn many times.
I did
before.
It one time, and then they actually said, you'll never do it again. This was in high school.
I had a former neighbor who was the bumblebee for the Chicago Sting.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. And supposedly it was great. I mean, I never saw him do his thing, but he was supposedly great.
Yeah.
One of my friends, her nephew was the mascot for ISU, the Redbirds.
Fear the bird.
What's his name? Reddy the Redbird or something?
Reggie Reddy. What?
Yeah, Reggie the Redbird, whatever it is. And apparently, I'm not kidding you, Benny the Bull came down and spoke to them. You know, the
in costume?
Well, there was two Benny the Bulls. There was a couple of guys who played Benny the Bull, but
one was
them,
a felon. Remember one?
Oh yeah, one.
The felon didn't come down, but the two Benny the Bulls came down and gave them like a motivational talk.
Wow. One of them gave him a motivational speech. Was do you remember years and years ago? One of them was hammered. He was completely annihilated, and he was on like a mini scooter driving around through Taste of Chicago, knocking people over in costume,
laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's not... I mean, the Bulls organization was like, who the hell let this guy out?
Yeah, I don't think he's employed there.
No, I don't think so. But I just want to mention really quickly that normally tomorrow night I do my film club.
Yeah.
But we're putting it off a week because Mike Kurz, who produces the Flashback Convention, is busy this week. So we're doing it next week, and I'm showing Stripes.
Oh, Stripes.
A
I
week
love
from
Stripes.
Tomorrow, February 11th, showing Stripes on the big screen.
February?
I'm sorry.
Stripes. I love Stripes.
August 11th. August 11th.
Yeah, good
best
catch,
year, best of the year.
Yeah, August 11th, Andrea's birthday, if you haven't done your shopping yet.
Oh, you know, that'll also be my 2 months sober.
Hey, congratulations.
August 11th will be my 2 months sober.
I look forward to your anniversary every month.
Thank you.
Barbara, congratulations. Give Barbara the prizes off air, and you're the big winner. First-time caller wins, or first caller, I should say, of the day, wins whatever Kevin wants to give up. And we're back after this on 720 WGN.
Will Byrne is out on supervised release by the U.S. Western District Court for a 121-month sentence for robbery of a banking institution. He is considered to be armed and dangerous.
And it started hailing, and then it started pouring, and then before you knew it, the whole tent just went up and over.
Last year, things weren't the way we wanted to be, but this year we have an opportunity to create our own identity, and I believe that we're going to do a great job of doing that this year.
Back to more Steve Cochran on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's a Memphis Police Department, a big story for the weekend. A Wooddale resident who was in the middle of that tent collapse, where one died this weekend in the middle of the first storm that came through yesterday afternoon. And then Lamar Houston from the Bears. Bears back at practice today. And Dave, what are we, 2 weeks away from the first exhibition game?
Yeah, just about. Yeah, the Hall of Fame game is, I think, a week from tonight or a week from next Sunday.
And in light of what Orion said during the business report that Uber is now worth $51 billion in valuation, I would like to announce that on the way in this morning, I got a call from Wall Street. And I said, hello. And they said, yes, is this Steve? I said, yes. And they said, this is Wall Street. I said, we wanted to announce that we have completed the valuation of your program. So I have the number here.
Oh, okay.
And what is it?
$37.50. Yeah,
$37.50 million.
$37.50. $37.50.
I think it's cool. Wall Street called you.
Yeah, I didn't know it was called. I mean, the guy's name is Wall Street. I didn't know that. So, seems odd. Ross Cochran joins us now. Let's do a digital plug here, son. If I wanted to get podcasts for this show, where would I get them?
You can get them on the WGN Radio app. Make sure you download that. You can get them on our website, WGNRadio.com. You can get almost all of them. We'll get shared on your social media, so Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show or on Twitter following @Cochran Show. You can also get them on iTunes. You could also get them basically wherever podcasts are distributed. We are there ready to invade.
And we are looking into the possibility of once a day going to a random listener's house without their permission and doing a dramatic recreation of something that happened on the show.
Absolutely. Awesome. Surprising idea. Amount of paperwork.
Just dropped in.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, hi, it's Steve. The show's here. We wanted to do a dramatic recreation of the 710 weather. That type of thing.
Right.
So, now, let's say that I wanted to read some of the blogs that are up. For instance, Orion's new blog is up every weekend, isn't it?
Yes. Usually Sunday night or very early Monday. But his Sam Says is up. It's a huge hit. Every time we post it on social media, it blows up because everyone loves hearing from Orion.
By the way, Orion, that doesn't mean it explodes. Blows up is what the kids say, which means it's very popular.
Thank you for the interpretation.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I speak millennial. I've posted a new blog this morning on the passing of... You know, one of the greatest left-handers of all time. And I got to tell you, if Billy Pierce doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, then maybe we shouldn't have a Hall of Fame. And yet here it is, another situation, like our friend Ron Santo, where he passes away before the honor could be bestowed. So it'll be interesting to see if the Golden Era committee recognizes him post all of this. But there's a blog up about Billy Pierce, and Ron Kittle will join us this morning about 7:10, a little less than an hour from now, to talk about Billy.
Yeah, I don't know. He was up for the Golden Era committee earlier this year, and I don't think they vote again now for a few years, because the way it works now is they have these different – they go by eras. And the Veterans Committee, or what used to be known as the Veterans Committee, now will look at a particular time in baseball and consider players from that era. Billy was on the ballot this last time.
It's idiotic.
Yeah, it's they you keep trying to reinvent the wheel.
And you take the oldest players in failing health in many cases, mm-hmm. and you go, well, we'll look at this again in 5 years. Yeah. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it makes no sense. I was looking at some of his numbers on Friday, and he was twice won 20 games, I think back-to-back seasons in the 50s, where guys weren't winning 20 games all the time.
Three-time All-Star starter.
Yeah.
And think about the guys he
seven
pitched.
Seven-time All-Star.
Think about the time, the era in which he pitched and who he pitched against, mm-hmm. and the guys that were at their – Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, at their prime.
And pre-expansion.
The best in the game.
Pre-expansion, so you're playing these teams a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he goes over to the National League, and, oh, yeah, there's Hank Aaron. That might be an issue. And Stan Musial and guys like that. Musial at the end of his career. I don't know. And Billy, more importantly, was a great guy. So you can read my blog where?
WGNRadio.com, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, or on Twitter following @CochranShow.
And I don't know if you heard, but Ross is going to be a dad.
Did hear that, yes.
Really?
Yeah, that's the rumor, and it turns out it's true. And when is Lauren having this baby?
December 20th.
That would be my first grandchild?
Yes, it would.
Okay, and when will I know whether or not this is a little boy or a little girl? Because I think I should be the one to tell the two of you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've arranged for the doctor to call me first.
So instead of going, you know, slipping to the baker so they could do the reveal?
I'm a bit of a control freak, you know. Yeah. So
you'd have to work that out with Northwestern. But yeah.
Go Cats.
There it is.
And by the way, I think Cats is not a great name.
I'll write that down.
Yeah.
But Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
But in a good way.
Oh, absolutely.
Excited, nervous. Russ has started a blog and a podcast about this experience leading up to the birth of his child, which I think everybody should listen to and everybody should read. Where's the blog?
WGNplus.com on the Dad for Life page. But I repost it on WGN Radio's website.
And you have a guest coming up. You're going to be interviewing me?
Yes. Yes. It was a tough get, but I knew his producer.
Yeah. So that'll be sometime this week.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to check with me and see when I'm available.
Right.
Okay. All right, so there you go. A little roundtable of everything. And, again, Ron Kittle coming up, remembering Billy Pierce this morning at 7:10. Mary's back. We're glad about that. And here's your traffic on 720 WGN. Oh, and one other very important blog to mention, unless Dave, you, or Andre, or Mary would like to mention a blog that you guys put up in the past few days that I haven't plugged.
I have a photo blog.
Blog. Right. Well, let's go back to Ross on this. Where is Andre's photo blog?
The published edition is on WGNRadio.com, and there's a unpublished edition that will be up very shortly.
Okay. All right. Unpublished meaning like the uncensored?
Yes. Yeah, it was a critical editor's review. It was a whole thing.
I don't want to say something like that just as a cheap way to get people to check it out, but the uncensored Andrea Darlis photo blog will be up soon. Mary, what about you?
Huh?
All right, then.
I put one up a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, people want to hear your thoughts on other things, like maybe the giant horseflies of Wisconsin.
Oh. I was on vacation, mm-hmm. so I wasn't blogging. I didn't have any cell reception. It was awesome. It is so weird when the kids can't get all on their phone.
I thought you were going to say it was awful.
No, it was great.
How about the two different perspectives on that? Ross is about to have a child, which will be the center of his life for, you know, seemingly forever. But maybe eventually you get to a point where Mary is, where she goes, thank God the kids couldn't get a hold of me.
No, no, no. They were with me.
Oh, they were.
That's what I'm saying. They were all with me, which was wonderful.
Oh, I get
they
it. Couldn't, I get it.
They were all just their fingers. They didn't know what to do because they couldn't get on their phones.
They had to actually communicate face-to-face,
we
look people in the eyes.
We had to play Scrabble. We played Scrabble. We played Solitaire.
People had fun?
Talked. It was amazing.
I lose my phone for a half an hour and I get heart palpitations.
Yeah, they did. It was hysterical, actually. And then after a couple of days, they kind of got used to it. But otherwise, they had to run to the boat landing where they could get reception.
That'd be me.
That's when you know you have a problem, when you're running to the boat landing.
Yes.
Dave has a new blog about Northwestern football coming out soon.
Yes, I
go
do.
Cats. Go Cats.
Yes, I do.
Soon. All right.
I think next week.
And Kevin, every Tuesday, the new Kevin Powell Food Diary goes up.
Correct.
Which is, it's more than just a scam for Kevin to get free food. It's beautiful photographs of what Kevin eats.
Mm-hmm.
And we should say prior to eating.
Just before I devour the meal.
Right.
And you just go to WGNradio.com/food diary and you can just see all the delicious meals I've been eating for the past week. So, for example, you can see a delicious cheeseburger I had yesterday with some cheese fries. And, Saturday was great. We had plenty of seafood. I had some salmon and some shrimp and a big old ham. Had some...
Wait.
The whole ham?
You had salmon, shrimp, and ham?
Yeah, it was kind of like a brunch menu.
Oh, I see.
And so there was a big ham. There was quiche. There was the lox, the shrimp. Delicious. It was awesome. So anyways, I don't want to give it all away, Steve. You're going to have to go to WGNRadio.com/food diary to see it.
And yes, Russ.
I just find it interesting that my Dad for Life podcast, I'm like kind of excited about the amount of passion that Kevin speaks
about what he
eats.
Yeah.
I wish I was that passionate about my kids.
And he doesn't want to pick his favorite meal because they're all like his children.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I did get is my monthly shipment of beef jerky.
Oh, good.
For Beef Jerky of the Month Club.
Yeah. I got to come up with a new angle for you guys this Christmas because I've been doing this of the month club thing and I think it's played out.
I like it.
How many months did Kevin get? Well, mine expired months ago.
Yeah,
he's
I got 3 months.
Yeah, I waited a couple months to sign up for mine.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But Steve likes me more, so he got me a 2-year subscription.
Oh, probably. I believe it.
And let's get to what really matters. Who's parked in my space, Kevin?
I don't know. Well, we got to get to the bottom of this.
Can we call security and have them towed?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we can make that happen. You said it was a Mini or something?
It's like a Mini. It's like a Toyota Mini SUV. I don't think towing would be appropriate, considering I parked 2 spaces over next to your car.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You didn't hit the door, did you?
No. I hit the front of it because we were face-to-face.
Great.
And, you know, but the problem is the Chevy Impala, 2015 Ice Blue Chevy Impala.
The Iceman.
You know, it's used to its spot, so I'm afraid it's uncomfortable out there.
Oh, it's going through withdrawal from its spot.
So, but between your bright yellow and my light blue.
We look like an Easter egg collection.
Yeah, people are going to know where we're parked. But for whoever's listening now, and I know you are, and you're monitoring, and you're wondering about whether or not I realized that you parked in my spot, I know who you are. I have a particular set of skills, and I will find you. If you move your car by 9, I will let you go, and nothing will be made of this.
Otherwise, it will be taken.
6:25, back after this on 720 WGN. You guys may remember the name Aaron Cromer as we get closer to Bears season. Aaron Cromer, Dave, remind folks, was the Bears offensive coordinator?
Yes, he was.
And he was the guy last year who was embroiled in a controversy in the lost 2014-2015 season. Really 2014 because the playoffs weren't an issue. The 2014 season. Over what controversy was that again?
Well, remember he said something to an NFL Network reporter about Jay Cutler and ended up having to apologize to the team at a tearful apology in a team meeting, and it all kind of blew up then.
You think about whatever you do for a living and you're at work and, you know, it can be hurtful if somebody says something about you behind your back, but it goes on every day. You always find out people are sniping. And it's not just about particular to show business and entertainment and sports. It's any business. Any business you're in. Whatever job you're driving to this morning, somebody is probably saying something about you behind their back today. You can't let it bother you. You can't.
Who's saying what?
I mean, here?
Well, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, Dave, the things that people say about you, and only half of them are me. But the fact of the matter is, we spend way too much time thinking about what other people think about us. I've told my kids about this for years, or I've tried to have them soak this in. It's not an easy lesson to learn. But if somebody is S-y to you, if somebody's you know, a jerk to you, whether it's flipping you off in traffic or whatever, you're only on their radar for that split second. They don't spend the rest of the day wandering around spreading the word of what a horrible driver you are or talking about what a bad job you did, on this or that. So
that is true.
You got to let it go.
It's fleeting.
Yeah, you have to let it go. So the idea that the Bears quarterback, the tough guy leader of the team, would have his itty-bitty feelings hurt by Aaron Cromer was just a microcosm of the mess that was last year. But then, so Aaron Cromer gets fired. He goes to the Buffalo Bills, and on July 12th was arrested for assault after he allegedly pushed and punched a teenager at a beach in Florida. 2 days later, the Bills placed him on an indefinite leave of absence. He's now been suspended, Dave, for 6 games.
Suspended without pay. The battery charge against him was dismissed last week by the prosecutors in Florida.
Well, you remember he had that foolproof argument where he said it was twilight and I couldn't tell if I was punching a kid or not.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Apparently, the parents of the kids involved decided they issued a statement saying this has been settled and we don't want our kids' lives disrupted any more than they have been.
What do you make of that?
That somebody paid somebody.
Yeah, somebody got a check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the upshot on that, and Aaron Cromer's $127,000 may be donated to charity by the Bills. So,
well, I mean, I think if you really look at it, a lot of people would have thought he wouldn't have a job when this thing was over.
Right.
So the fact he will be going back to a job with the Bills is probably a positive development for him.
So maybe I was wrong. Maybe Jay Cutler should have been upset about Cromer talking about him because maybe Cromer would have punched Cutler.
Which you could think would have been a good thing.
A lot of fans probably
it probably would have been perfectly the way things went last year. That would have just fit in very nicely.
Yeah, would have been another story.
Woke up after midnight. Both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline.
Sing along now.
I have edema on my thigh.
Edema.
Pink stuff in my eye.
My eye.
I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us now. I got a text from your brother, Kurt Most, last night, one of my favorite Mosts. And
yeah.
Kurt pointed out that you guys played golf yesterday afternoon, and he made more birdies. What happened?
He did make more birdies, but I hit more greens. I just didn't putt well. But It's always a special time when you get to go out on the golf course with your older brother. So,
and he treats you like he did when you were 10 and he was 12.
Yeah. No, he's always treated me with respect. But, I mean, it's great. You know, we're born two years apart on the exact same day, which is kind of cool. So we've shared birthdays all our lives. So
Dr. Most has a very close family, but I think it's time that you actually announce today who your favorite brother is. Let's go. Here's the announcement now, because I know your mom's listening. Hello? Hello? Did I listen? I listened. Phone went dead there. I'm sure you said the answer, but we couldn't hear it because the phone went dead.
Bad connection.
How about that? All right. At 6:45, when we come back, we have several things to go over today. There is a Legionnaires outbreak in New York City. Explain what Legionnaires disease is. There's a Ebola vaccine breakthrough. And the wrestler Rowdy Roddy Piper died at 61. But also in light of late summer here and everybody having their own little miniature aches and pains, some more serious than that, it might be time to freeze various parts of me. That's all accurate, Doc? That's on the list today? That's a good list?
That's a very good list. Very interesting list.
All right. I'm going to call your mom and see who her favorite son is, and we'll come back to you in a second.
You got it.
Dr. Kevin Moss, Vice President for Medical Affairs for Northwestern Medicine and Central DuPage Hospital. Did you have a good weekend, by the way, other than playing golf with your brother?
Yeah, I did. It was nice. Finally, nice to have decent weather on the weekend. We deserve it.
Well, maybe you'd call and check in on me, but didn't hear from you.
I was expecting a call from you since last Monday, actually.
About what?
Golf date?
Yeah, I know. I'm lame, aren't I? I'm so lame. Plus, I was supposed to get you the name of that bug spray.
Yep. That was going to be this morning. We're all waiting for that.
It's in my bag, my golf bag, which is in my car. I could actually have Ross go down and get it.
Can probably get it in 8 minutes, yep.
Yeah, it probably happened. All right, let's jump to some of these stories. This unusual Legionnaire's outbreak in New York City. First, what's Legionnaire's disease?
Yeah, so Legionnaire's disease is a bacteria that causes pneumonia. It was first noted in 1976 in Philadelphia at an American Legion conference, and the hotel cooling system actually aerosolized this bacteria, sent it down into the hotel, and many people were injured or sick. So we've seen outbreaks, you know, since then. Matter of fact, we had one in Chicago not too long ago, a few years ago. And now there's probably 10,000 cases of this a year. The unusual thing about in New York is it's not in one hotel. It's not in one place. It's in four different buildings, and they're testing others. So it's kind of like, why is this going on in multiple places? Usually the bacteria will catch or collect somewhere where the cooling system is, where there's some standing water, gets aerosolized. But why is it at four different buildings in New York? That's the unusual thing.
And is it something that could come up anywhere?
Yeah, it could come up anywhere. Yep, the bacteria is pretty much everywhere. It's just a matter of an opportunity to grow. And, you know, we're hearing about the deaths, but, I mean, a lot of people get this. It's kind of a flu-like illness where you have fever and pneumonia and cough. The vast majority of people are going to do just fine being treated with antibiotics. Some of those older patients or immunocompromised patients that are going to have bad outcomes.
Moving on to Ebola, first off, what's the status of the outbreak in Africa since it's obviously not front page news?
Yeah, you know, there was a little outbreak last week, I want to say in Sierra Leone, but it's pretty much doing fairly well contained. But the bigger news, Steve, is like you were talking about the vaccine that's coming out. So GlaxoSmithKline, Johnson & Johnson have formed together to produce a vaccine, which is really great when you think about it. Most companies are going to go into vaccines to make money on them. I'm not sure this is going to be a huge moneymaker, but it really could contain this virus as well as protect the people who are treating the individuals and those in the community. And the outcomes so far are extremely promising, 100% effectiveness right now, way better than influenza vaccine. That'll probably change over time, but still very, very promising.
Roddy Piper was only 61 when he died the other day. What killed him?
Died of a heart attack. Which is unfortunate. You think of him and you think of him as an individual and a personality, but he's also an athlete. So he was in pretty darn good shape at times in his life. I don't know what he's done the last couple of years, but yeah, we have to realize he was only 61 years old. Same age my father died from a heart attack. So this is something, again, thinking about heart disease, kind of make sure you know what your cholesterol is, know your blood pressure, take care of those things, because even a world-class athlete can have a heart attack. So very important and unfortunate, because he was quite a character.
All right, so let's talk about freezing things. Freezing things is I saw the Peyton Manning commercial last night where he's singing to his, a sub or something? What's the commercial where he's sitting in the tub of ice? Losing, feeling in my toes.
TV.
Peyton Manning sitting by.
Okay.
Nationwide.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nationwide. That's a Subway commercial. Nationwide. So, sorry, Nationwide. So he eats a sandwich in the commercial is what I'm being told, oddly enough, by Kevin. But at any rate, the idea that you would ice down athletes after a sporting event is certainly not new. It's been around forever. But now there's a new way to do it. I got to get me one of these machines. Explain this.
And it really is very cool. And think about it. If you watch a baseball game, you look in the dugout, the pitcher comes off, they put a bag of ice. You see the interviews like Peyton Manning or all these football players are sitting in this huge ice bath. And they stay in there for 20 to 30 minutes. And what they're trying to do is decrease inflammation, because if we decrease the inflammation, we know that the recovery time is much quicker. Well, there's a company out now, Impact Cryotherapy, that is doing this in 2 to 3 minutes. You go into this chamber, it's filled with nitrogen vapors, it decreases the temperature in the chamber to about 150 degrees below, and you're in there for 2 to 3 minutes, but it treats your entire body. So instead of that bag of ice being on your shoulder, it's taking care of your entire body. Now, when I hear Zach Johnson and Jordan Spieth use it on a regular basis, a couple times a week, you know, get me signed up, because it must be working. A lot of big universities using it, professional baseball teams as well.
So you walk into this thing, and are you standing up or you're laying down?
You're standing up. Your head is outside of it.
So it closes around you like a clamshell.
Exactly. And then they fill it up with the nitrogen vapor, and it cools it down. And it's actually working just on the superficial layers of the skin. You're not in there long enough to get frostbite. It's not going to do any damage to you. As a matter of fact, a lot of people think it's actually healthy for the skin. I think the interesting thing is this has been around for 30 years. Just hasn't been in the United States. Used widely in Japan and Europe for arthritis patients, for MS patients, and for athletes. And now it's gone from the elite athlete. They finally got the price point where they can bring it down to the amateur athlete now.
And it's not painful?
Not painful at all. Most people come out of it feeling rejuvenated.
That's a really cool idea. How much?
$50,000, I believe, for the unit itself. And most of the therapies, you can get this at Sea Island, Georgia, you know, one of our favorite places down there. And
yeah, I think this sounds like a spa treatment.
Exactly. They do have it in multiple spas. At Sea Island, they have it in their golf performance center as well as in the spa. But the treatments are about $50. So it's actually fairly inexpensive for the athlete that says, wait a second, you're going to make me feel better tomorrow morning instead of me having to take Advil and work on all this. I'm going to decrease that inflammation before it occurs. So interesting concept. I think we'll see some very interesting studies coming out of it now that it's more popular in the U.S.
I have $140 in my wallet, and you have a lot of connections. I'd like one delivered today.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we should actually look to see where it is, because my lower back today is bothering me quite a bit. It would have been nice to have one of these therapies yesterday. I could have told you how well it worked.
Well, I'll have one of them, and then I'll let you go in second.
Okay.
That's the kind of guy I am. Dr. Kevin Most, Vice President of Medical Affairs at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. We're stalling for just a second. We're waiting for Ross to return from he probably had trouble getting back because he had to go to my alternate parking space because someone parked in my spot today.
Do you haven't had that car towed yet?
No, I thought about it. I mean, it is two spaces farther away.
Uh-huh.
And you know what a diva.
Just make sure it's not Larry Wirtz or Jimmy DeCastro's.
Oh, better not be. I'll see, those two clowns are out of the company.
But
we're waiting to find out the name of this bug. I swear to you, with all the gnat problems that we've had, this is the only thing I've ever seen that works. And Doc thinks I'm nuts. The rest of you think I'm nuts. I'm telling you. And I ordered it online from some like kooky guy somewhere in the country that charged me like $9 for it or something. And you spray it on your golf hat or on your shirt. It doesn't cause any problems with the fabric in your clothing or whatever. You can even spray it on your skin.
We just think you're goofy because you said you've only seen 3 mosquitoes this summer.
Right. That's a true story.
That's
and hey,
crazy.
You know, the gnats don't cause diseases like the mosquitoes do, but They taste awful, don't they?
They do.
Oh, yeah, you get when you eat those?
They do,
oh.
And it's impossible to do anything outdoors with the gnat problem that we've had, but there's only been 3 mosquitoes all summer. All right, Doc, well, keep listening. I know you have patients to see and a hospital to run, but just sit by the radio until we get an answer for you.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Talk to you guys later.
Dr. Kevin Most, Vice President of Medical Affairs, Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. Your news coming up. And then Ron Kittle will join me in about 10 minutes to talk about the great Billy Pierce after this. 720 WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way. You're always in there fighting, and you do your best.
It's 7:13 on Friday morning. We found out that Billy Pierce had died, and I was lucky enough in this life to know Billy a little bit. And his son Bob is a good friend, and our kids grew up together. And I wrote a blog about all of this that you could see at WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app, amongst other places. But I want to play a clip for you. The last time Billy was on with us was when Minnie Minoso died, and I was talking to Billy, amongst other things, about the fact that guys like Billy and guys like Minnie and guys from that greatest generation, they just weren't like the rest of us that couldn't wait to tell you how great we were. They just kind of let the work do the talking for them. Here's a little bit of that conversation.
You guys from the greatest generation are really bad at bragging about yourselves, and that's one of the best things about you, I suppose. But in an era now where you'll have veterans from a more recent time sort of openly campaigning for each other, and time being what it is, you know, it almost seems like unless you're out there saying, hey, remember me, I was pretty good, maybe you don't get the votes.
Well, that's not the way we were.
Right, and that's not the way you are.
I mean, you know, you do what you do when you do it, when you're playing ball. And I mean, it's 50 years since I've played ball. I know myself. And you don't talk about the baseball. Somebody brings it up, ask a question, you can answer it and different things like that. And you can talk about your other ball players. I can talk about Nellie Fox and Minnie Minoso and Jimmy Landis and all the fellas that played and how well they played. But you don't talk about yourself too much.
It's Billy summing it up beautifully on the attitude of those that came from that generation. Ron Kittle knew Billy very, very well. They're very good friends. And Kittle is on his way to Sturgis, and we've got him on the line. We'll get to him in just a second, so he can talk a little bit about his friend Billy. At 7:15, let's do a quick traffic check first. Back to Mary for an update.
Heaviest road inbound, Eisenhower, 45 minutes from 53, about 26 from Mannheim, up to 50 outbound of 53 as well. 44 both ways on the Stevenson between the Tri-State and the Drive. Heavy delays into Central. The Ryan, not too bad, along with the Edens. Kennedy outbound, 45 to O'Hare, but only 26 coming in from the airport. And looks pretty good on most of the tollways. Some minor delays coming in on 294 into 55. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Let's see if we can find Mr. Kittle somewhere on the road on the way to Sturgis for the giant Harley rally. Which Harley do you have, by the way?
A 2003 anniversary Fat Boy.
Yeah, very nice. Well, I know it's going to be a great trip. You know, we all knew, I saw you at the Chicago Baseball Cancer Charities event again this year, and we all knew that Billy wasn't doing great, but I have to say I was surprised when I got the news Friday, because I figured like any other time he'd just pull out of it.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's probably one of the most special men I've ever met in my entire life, of an early career just running across him. He was the scout that signed me to be with the White Sox in 1978. So I've had a little relationship for a long time. You know, I know his family. I know his grandkids. He's just a special man.
He's one of the nicest guys you would ever meet. And it's one of those things where, Dave, what was the old game show? Is it What's My Line, where you'd have to guess what somebody did?
Or To Tell the Truth.
Or To Tell the Truth. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know who Billy Pierce was and you spent 10 or 15 minutes talking to him, first off, you wouldn't know what he did because he'd only want to talk about you. But secondly, not only did he have no ego, Ron Kittle, he had like a negative ego. He never talked about himself.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's one of those special people that – somebody who gets to meet him in life, they're very lucky. I'm honored. I told his grandkids, and I've known his whole family like you have, too, and they should have 9 sculptures of him at Sox Park. That's right. How great a man he is. And, you know, Minnie Minoso was the first coach that taught, you know, he tried me out at Sox Park. So there's 2 special people that, you know, I got to be a little bit part of their little life, a little blip. But I was honored just to know both of them. And Billy, his family, his wife, Gloria, I mean, tremendous people. Great loss for the White Sox families, and he's going to be duly missed.
The idea that he's not in Cooperstown is insane to me because as left-handed pitchers go, there was a period of about 5 years in the 50s where statistically nobody could touch him. And when you factor that against the guys he pitched against, the greatest to ever play the game, the greatest hitters ever, something you could talk about. I mean, there's no question that Billy was dominant, and he deserved to be in Cooperstown a long time ago.
No, I agree with you. He should have a plaque up there. You know, and it's almost sad. If they would give him one now, I would almost feel disheartened because he should have had one while he was still on this planet representing himself. And you're absolutely right. I never heard him say anything. What he did, he's always talked about Nellie, Minnie, everybody else he's ever played with. You know, I've been on the charity board with him for, what, almost 30 years. He's been on my board. We've done so many things together. And everybody asked me, should he be in the Hall of Fame? And I said yes. And but, you know, maybe somebody didn't like him. I have no idea. I can't say he had a bad word to say about anybody. So the sports writer should have definitely liked him. But I hope one day it does happen for his family that he gets that honor.
You make an interesting point because, you know, the same thing happened to Santo. But Ron would, and Dave, you know this, Ron would readily admit that back in his playing days, he wasn't all that friendly with the writers. And he could get in their face, and he could be he could be bristle. I but it's what you said, Kittle. I don't know anybody that would ever said a bad word about Billy Pierce.
Yeah, you know, it's just like Ronnie Santo. I mean, do I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame? It doesn't matter. They should have gave him an honor like that when he's still around.
Right.
And, you know, I know his son, and I knew him personally. I mean, I grew up a Cubs fan, you know, or a baseball fan, period. But, you know, it's I think the Hall of Fame structure needs to be changed a little bit. I mean, there's a few people who are big A's with a hole at the end of it in the Hall of Fame. I think that's what happens, Steve, when you get that honor. I treat them the same. You know, I've asked them for autographs for my charity over the years, Hall of Famers, and they tell me no. And I said, you know what? I haven't beat up anybody today, so you better sign this son of a gun. And, you know, and they sign it, you know, because they know I'm going to be dead serious. But because you're in the Hall of Fame doesn't mean you're a good person. Billy belongs in the Hall of Fame with a very special group of really good people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll tell you my favorite Billy Pierce baseball story, and it took me 15 minutes in the conversation to get it out of him. I said, Billy, I talked to guys. I remember Pinella used to talk about this. Just certain guys that have your number. And you know this, Ron, as a hitter. There'd be a pitcher, and for no particular reason, you just couldn't get him. You couldn't hit him. And pitchers would have guys they just could get around and guys they could pitch to. So, Dave, I don't think I ever told you this story, but I was talking to Billy at like a neighborhood barbecue thing. And I said, come on, who is the one guy that you had his number? This is a guy that you could always handle. And he goes, well, I did pretty good against Teddy. Ted Williams.
Ted
Williams.
I mean, that's what's funny. I mean, you just gave me I'm sitting on the side of the road right now so I can talk to you, looking at a herd of bison, you know, and you just gave me, and that gives me the chills. But just that story right there took it over the next level. And I mean, it's, I'm going to miss him. Truly, I'm going to miss him. And, you know, I hope I keep in touch with his family. You know, you'll keep in touch with Bobby and everybody else. And, but a chunk of my heart left, and, you know, it'll never come back because that's a special man in life.
It's a big hole in the White Sox family, I can tell you that. When you get to Sox Park, when you get over to the Sill, stop by that statue and just take a picture with Billy. He'd love that.
You know, Minnie, him, and Moose Gowan were all ambassadors for the White Sox. That's my job. Now they're gone. Now I have to do everything. So we need some more people to do what I'm doing. And
that's true.
But like I said, I'm honored to even be associated with Chicago White Sox and get to do what I do. I was just a little blip in the baseball world, but I have fun. And I think I know what old school is. And Minnie used to say all the time with Moose is, you're the kind of player that should have played with us because
that's true.
You went out there, you didn't complain, you just did what you did. You stunk, you were good, and you had fun.
That's so absolutely true.
I take that as a great compliment.
That's absolutely true. Listen, man, get to Sturgis safe. Thanks for a couple of minutes, and I appreciate you pulling over. Say hi to the Bison.
Same here. See you soon.
See you. That's Ron Kittle. You know, and Kittle wouldn't want me talking about him, but I'll tell you a Ron Kittle story as well. There's a golf buddy who'd been battling cancer for years that we lost earlier this year as well, and he was a big, big Sox fan. And 3 or 4 years ago, this is a guy that was given his last rites about 5 different times and just kept fighting through it. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess now, one of our mutual friends came to me and said, look, I don't know if he can hook this up, but he loves Kittle and, you know, he's feeling pretty good now. Maybe we could play golf. One phone call to Ron Kittle. We end up on the golf course, had a great time, and he stayed in touch with Steve, you know, pretty much right up through the end. So Kittle's a good guy, and he is old school.
Yeah. By the way, the Golden Era Committee, we mentioned earlier, this is the way the voting takes place now. They have the different era committees. They have, at the Hall of Fame, the pre-integration era committee, which considers candidates prior to the 1947 when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. Then they have...
So it's be like Negro League players back then?
Well, no, it's
or all just pre-integration players, generally pre-integration. Speaking. Okay, got it.
And then they have the Golden Era Committee. They have the Expansion Era Committee. This year, let's see, at the 2015 winter meetings, it'll be the pre-integration era committee candidates considered. Then the Expansion Era next year, and then the Golden Era Committee, which would include Billy Pierce, and he was on the ballot this year for that. Those candidates will be considered at the 2017 winter meetings for induction in 2018.
Why would you wait? It's just insane.
You
know, most of those guys. We went through this with Santo. As sick as Ron was at the end, I remember us all sitting around and going, if you're going to put him in, put him in.
Put him in so that he can enjoy it. And the guys who were on the ballot with Billy Pierce this last time included Minnie Minoso, by the way. Also right. Dick Allen.
Right.
Another White Sox great. Luis Tiant, Maury Wills. I mean, none of these guys are young, the guys who are living in that group. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
For all the greatness of Cooperstown, and I think it's the best sports hall of fame there is, they have certainly made this voting thing 100 times more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah, and more complicated. It's very hard to follow who gets voted in when.
It's 7:25. Thanks again to Ron Kittle. I think I'm right about this, Kev. Jump in. Is Kittle's Twitter follow at Naked Biker?
Yes, it is. Well, I know I had to put out the tweet from my account, and I said, you know, we're remembering Billy Pierce with at Naked Rider.
Oh, it's Naked Rider.
Naked Rider, yeah.
Okay, Naked Rider.
Naked Rider.
Naked Biker. God, I'm sorry. I screwed up.
Naked Biker, Rider.
Yes.
Yeah. Which one is it?
Naked Biker.
Oh, it is Naked Biker.
So, at Naked Biker is
right. Because Bob Surratt is Naked Rider.
Right.
Yes.
I mix them up all
Yeah, it's true.
I thought he was Easy Rider. Yeah.
It's 7:25. More in a moment on 7:20 WGN.
I'm not a debater. These politicians, I always say, they're all talk, no action. They debate all the time. They go out and they debate every night. I don't debate. I've created tremendous jobs. I've built a great company. I do a lot of things, and maybe my whole life is a debate in a way. But the fact is, I'm not a debater.
I'm really rich.
They love me. They love me.
Live from downtown Chicago, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Just another weekend of being Donald Trump. A staffer named Sam Nunberg got fired after a bunch of racist Facebook posts were uncovered. Meanwhile, Jeb would be Uncle Jed. He'd be a clampet. Jeb Bush sees an upside to Trump's surge in the GOP because of all the talk that is about the Republicans as opposed to about Hillary. I would argue I think it's actually the reverse, and that Hillary is skating on a lot of controversial issues while the clown car of the Republican Party continues to veer closer to the cliff. But all of this brings us to the really important issue, and that is, has my bid held up on the Donald Trump cornhole game?
Oh, has it?
Remember, this is a guy from Michigan, the artist who created two Donald Trump cornhole faces, where the cornhole hole is the mouth of Trump. And, you know, the money that's raised from this goes wherever it goes. I think he had a foundation or a charity or something. And I upped the bid to $500 on whatever day we talked to him last
Friday, week. Friday, right? You bid $500.
So I said we'd check back in with Darren Robbins this morning. Let's do that now. Good morning, Darren. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
How's the art business?
Oh, we had a banging weekend.
So did my bid pump help you?
It helped tremendously. You still got the high bid, but the current standing bid is $417.
What is a standing bid? I don't know what that means.
Well, it means that you bid $500, and somebody else has bid it up to $417. So if they were to, say, bid $501, then they would finally surpass you.
Okay, yeah, why would they bid $417 if $500 is a high bid?
Either they didn't know that, and they just kept whacking at it and finally walked off, or, you know, they're just I don't know. I really don't know.
You're an artist. You're not supposed to know this stuff. All right, so
if I was gonna bid at all, I would bid, you know, a four-digit number. That's just how generous I am.
I understand that, but you made them, so why would you buy your own stuff? Now, if I win these, if I am a high bid on these, I want you to come to Chicago and we can play Donald Trump cornhole outside the studio.
That would be a dream come true.
And, you know, that's a good thing for you because we'd spend most of the morning plugging your incredible artwork.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. It's Darren Robbins, and this is all on eBay, right? This is where we bid?
This is on eBay, yeah. And the auction ends at 9:51 Chicago time tomorrow morning.
Now, you guys saw the Trump cornhole face. Dave, you're one of the finest sportscasters in America. How would you describe cornhole as a game?
Well, it's a game of great skill, of course. Mm-hmm. It requires balance. It requires accuracy.
It requires liquor. Doesn't it require liquor usually?
Occasionally, yes.
Yeah. Yes, and the Trump boards, the cornhole boards. Is that what they're called, Darren, cornhole boards?
That's what I like to call them. Well,
bags.
Well, the bags are what you throw.
But right, but the game is called bags.
Okay. But the board with a hole in it, that's mm-hmm. what you have to do. It's like horseshoes, except there's no post. You throw, Orion says it's not like horseshoes at all. You throw the bags at the hole in the board. Is there some regular distance that it has to be away?
Yeah, it has
it
to
is.
Be. Yeah. Go ahead.
27 feet from board to board.
Oh.
27 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN actually had the International Cornhole Championships on a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're reporting live from it. In other words, it was a really slow day. So the cornhole bags that come with the game, are they filled with money? Because Trump's very rich. I don't know if you know that. He never brings it up.
Sure, sure. No, these are actually filled with corn.
Oh, with corn.
Yeah.
Corn. Okay. And are they adorned in any particular artistic way, considering your talents?
Well, the bags are just branded with the Lemmy Cornhole brand.
Nice.
And, you know, I stand by everything I make, so I may as well do that, put my name on it.
And again, the hole is Trump's mouth. That's what you have
That's
to
right.
get the bag in.
They love me. They love me.
Yeah, okay, no. The follow here and the website is lemmycornhole.com, L-E-M-M-Y, cornhole, you know, the traditional spelling of cornhole, lemmycornhole, one word, .com. All right, Darren, what other artwork do you do?
I did a set of Joan Jett and the Blackheart boards that was auctioned off during Rock and Roll Hall of Fame events earlier this year.
What? I didn't know that was up for auction.
You're friends with Joan Jett.
I would have bid on that. Can you make me another?
Sure,
I'll buy him outright.
Yeah.
How much did that go for?
That went for over $2,000.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Well, that's good for the person who got that.
Joan Jett, $2,000. Don Trump, Don, as I call him, Don Trump, $500 so far.
That's right.
Now, where's the money going? Proceeds are going where?
Yeah, it's going to Wounded Warrior Project.
Oh, come on, man. Outbid me. I want somebody to win in Chicago, though, because I still want you to deliver him here, even if I'm not the high bid.
Well, I'll stop by on my way wherever I'm going.
That's good. And then you can drop by drop off the used cornhole game. okay, how do people bid again? They go to eBay. What do they search?
Yeah, they search for Donald Trump cornhole.
We're looking at the Joan Jett ones. Those are cool.
Yeah.
Dude, you're good at this. You know who you are? You ought to get into art because you're good at it. Donald Trump cornhole. You search that, you make your high bid, and if the high bid's $500, kids, $417 is not going to win. So you have to be over the number, over the $500 number. And again, Wounded Warrior's going to get some money out of this as well. So Darren, when did you tell your parents you wanted to be an artist?
Oh, that's another long story, Steve.
Was it your favorite conversation?
It's still going on.
Oh, it is. Okay, great. How old are you, by the way?
49.
Do you have a girlfriend or a wife?
I'm single at the moment.
That's a shock. you seem like a good guy, but I guess if you're out dating and you tell and women go, and what do? I guess it's probably tough to explain that you're cornering the market on cornholes.
Yeah, welcome to my world.
We love this guy. How great is this guy? This guy could be a regular on this show. So, and what's the one piece of art that you've created you're most proud of? Because I know it's not Trump's face.
No, it was the Joan Jett boards, actually.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty cool.
If you actually make these games, paint them, does that mean that you are a really good cornhole player?
That's a great question. Probing.
I started out as a... habitual cornhole player, and it just got too expensive down at the bar, so I had to make my own set. and everything ballooned from there.
Yeah, and the rest is just a dream. It's a dream.
But here's the thing. I'm mediocre at best. But that's the thing about cornhole, is that you don't have to be good to have a good time.
Cornhole basically involves liquor and heckling, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What better pastimes are there?
Yeah. Mocking as your friend tries to throw the bean bag through the hole. Right. Or in this case, the corn bag. Lemmy Cornhole, L-E-M-M-Y, cornhole.com to see Trump's face. And you could Google Donald Trump Cornhole, or I should say eBay Donald Trump Cornhole, and you're good to go and make your bid today.
I'm really rich.
Yeah, thanks, Don. Darren, hold on, buddy. I love that guy. He's got a great attitude.
It's great.
Don't he have a great attitude?
He does. Are you a good cornhole player?
I've only played a couple of times, and I felt like I needed more training. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about private lessons.
Okay, we should do. We should do that. When you win the cornhole, when you win the Trump thing, ones,
yeah.
You should do. We'll do a little portion where you can get a lesson, and then
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we'll set it up.
I'll kill a cornhole.
Then we'll have teams, and we can play against each other.
I'll win.
Well, yeah, you're not going to win.
I will totally win. Kidding me?
Win? You don't even know how to play.
The crowd is getting restless.
What do you mean I don't know how to play? What do you mean I don't know how to play? You take a beanbag and you throw it at Donald Trump's mouth.
It's not that easy, Steve.
No, there's an art.
I've played before.
You don't throw it at his mouth.
Oh, I do.
You have to put some air under the bag.
Yeah, you have to toss it.
Yes.
No, you throw it underhand.
It'll be the Enid Cochran team versus the Darlis Vandeville team.
Oh, we'd totally kick your tails.
So Orion's not invited? I can be with Orion.
You and
Orion.
Well, yeah, you guys are another team.
You know, it's called cornhole. If anybody ought to play it, ought to be Samuelson.
That's what I mean.
I am the commissioner Kevin and of the Orion. Cornhole League.
Commissioner.
Yes. Commissioner. Oh. That's more apropos. Yeah.
So invite some listeners down, too. Assuming the $417 bid doesn't go up.
I think we should definitely do this. Let's have our own Steve Cochran Show cornhole tournament.
Listen, I don't mind. I might even kick my bid up a little bit.
Yeah.
But somebody ought to be bidding four figures plus on this. Come on. It's Donald Trump's stupid warriors. Face, and it's for the Wounded Warriors.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But if you don't get it, I'll bring my set from home in.
Well, that's good. Play. Well, our boy Darren there said he's going to come by, and we're going to play before he turns him over to the rightful winner.
All right.
Assuming it's from Chicago. Tough break for him if the winner's, say, in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Let's get traffic in here. Here's Mary back from her break, and I hope you enjoyed yourself. Now it's time for your traffic trouble spots.
Tether him off, we're gonna tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker. Tether him off, we're gonna tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker. Tether him off, we're gonna tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker.
This is one of my grandmother's favorites. When I used to come home from school, I got off the bus at my grandmother's house. She'd usually have Parliament cranked up. And Granny only had one rule. Said, if the house is rocking, don't come knocking. I said, Granny, what are you doing? She said, Granny's making stew. It's my childhood. I don't know why you find it so funny.
She's making stew.
She's making stew. All right. Now, this is one of those points in the show where we've got a weird little break here. It's only a minute or two. So I have a story about Ultimate Frisbee or a story about the most painful places to get a tattoo. Which would you prefer to hear?
Tattoo. Yeah.
Wow, a bunch of sadists on
this
show.
You know what? It was funny because this was part of my dinner conversation last night.
The most painful places to get a tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay. On your face, just don't do it. This is according to one of the world's most renowned tattoo artists. On your head, head tattoos are not only painful but also jarring because you can hear the process acutely. Hand tattoos become trendy. Unsurprisingly, the most painful part of the hand to get inked is the palm. How about that? You would think it'd be the flip side, wouldn't you?
Yeah. On top.
Probably because it's ticklish.
Your elbow. This area is a toss-up. For some customers, it hurts a lot. Others can't feel it at all. Your butt cheeks. Booty tattoos may be discreet, but they're very uncomfortable, and no, the extra padding doesn't help.
Who's going to see a butt tattoo, though? Well, I mean, I know, obviously, your significant other, but
yeah,
that's it.
Rib cage and stomach. Yes, rib cage and stomach tattoos hurt a lot, but the worst part is the pain never really lets up.
In most cases, your body will give you some chemical assistance at some point to make it temporarily bearable. Not on your ribs, kids. On the ankle, according to other, or compared to other locations, ankle tattoos actually aren't that bad at all, but you think they would be. However, the foot is notoriously painful. Just absolutely horribly painful. But he said, not nearly as painful as it is for me, because I'm the one that has to give you the tattoo. So really, it comes down to your head or your foot. Imagine the tattoo I could get on my forehead with all that space to ink.
That could be a lot.
Right? Could be a full billboard up there for the show.
And we know Andrea will never do it because she won't even get a needle flu shot.
That's a good point.
I don't know. That is true, but I've thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it would be cool.
And then you stop thinking about it?
Well, then I start thinking about, the pain involved with it. It came up last night because the waitress at the restaurant that I was at had a tattoo just where your wrist would be, a little bit above your wrist. And mm-hmm. I said, did that hurt? And she said, it was the worst pain I've ever felt.
Dave was going to get a teardrop for his gang, but he decided not to do it.
What did it say about the arm?
The arm tattoo?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't really mention an arm. See, because everybody gets an arm.
Right. Everyone's got these sleeves.
Yeah, the sleeves. But supposedly, your inner arm hurts, too. You know, like if you make a muscle, inside is where it hurts, too.
Supposedly, that's the softest area.
What about the Mike Tyson facial?
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. The sternum has been described as, quote, like being cut open by a hot knife. If you want to get a tattoo on your sternum.
Do any of us have tattoos? Nobody on the show has tattoos.
No.
No.
Mary has actually a tattoo of the Kennedy.
On her back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the express lanes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
hey, good morning, Dean. How are you?
Oh, exhausted from, hanging out in the mosh pit at Lollapalooza all weekend.
By the way, the R in Richard stands for mosh pit. We've known that for a long time. It's always been a case of you being the lead mosher.
I couldn't have gotten out of there any faster on Friday.
You did look like you were enjoying the heck out of it.
I didn't mind. I didn't mind it, but, it was hot and crowded.
Lollapalooza.
Crowded.
Lollapalooza is a smashing success. And now Perry Farrell's talking about some winter idea he has.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, he's got some idea for something to do in the winter in Chicago.
He's clearly never been here in the winter.
I think it's stay inside, Palooza.
I was going to say it wouldn't be in Grand Park, would it?
No, he's talking about some indoor activity.
Okay.
Like find a remote and watch TV, Palooza.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't know. Highlights, how was Paul McCartney?
Shovel my snow if you want.
Shuffle my snow, Palooza. How was Paul McCartney?
McCartney's show was fantastic. He was on stage about 2 hours, brought up Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes, who had appeared earlier that evening. There was rumors that Kanye was going to join him on stage because he appeared on Kanye's album and Rihanna, and that all of them would be on, but that never happened. Apparently, hanging out with you all weekend, as Kanye does most weekends.
I found out this morning from a helpful listener that Kanye is writing Donald Trump's speeches. That's why they make so much sense.
I'm really rich.
Thank you. The Bobby Christina Memorial was held, and as was expected, it couldn't go too smoothly, I suppose.
One family member was kicked out of the memorial service. Bobby Brown's sister, Bobby Christina's aunt, Lula, started when Pat Houston, Whitney Houston's brother's wife, who pretty much has been overseeing Bobby Christina's care during these past 6 months, when she was speaking and eulogizing Bobby Christina, Bobby Brown's sister got up and started screaming and saying that we're on to you. Whitney Houston's ghost is going to haunt you. She was removed from the services and told reporters outside, that Pat Houston has weaseled her way inside and using all of this for her own advantage. I mean, it's just an ugly, ugly, ugly thing. So that took place on Saturday. Also Saturday, Bobby Brown's current wife was rushed to the hospital after the memorial service with an apparent seizure. They don't know the reason why. We don't really have an update on that. We know that she's still in the hospital and being cared for right now. So more drama for the Brown family there. And meanwhile, Bobby Christina's body has been flown to New Jersey, where she will be laid to rest today alongside her mother, Whitney Houston.
You know, I don't keep really close tabs on Bobby Brown, but I guess I didn't know he'd gotten remarried.
Oh yeah, remarried and another child. Another child along the way, yeah. So,
yeah, great.
You know, how much interest there'll be after today? I mean, really, Bobby Brown's had musical success, but catapulted into the public eye because of his marriage to Whitney Houston and all the dysfunction that came with that, you know, that we saw on that reality show, Being Bobby Brown, the complete dysfunction, not only of Bobby Brown, but Whitney Houston being dragged on into it, and this poor child, Bobby Christina, also being dragged along, you know, with her parents in this. Just the whole thing, I mean, to me, has just been terribly tragic.
Bobby Brown, when I was a disc jockey back in the early 90s, used to come through for interviews occasionally, and he had a song called My Prerogative.
Right.
And I remember going to see Bobby Brown in concert, and My Prerogative was 25 minutes long. And I wanted to punch myself in the face.
It's his prerogative to do the song that long if he wants.
Yeah. My prerogative. Come on, everybody. Let me hear you. My prerogative. Where's my DJ at? Apparently it makes you go blind if you sing your song too long. Where's my DJ at?
Take a tip from Paul McCartney. Do, like, you know, 30, 40 2-minute songs and call it a night.
It's unbelievable.
Go down in the history books. Metallica also, didn't mention Metallica. Rocked the joint on Saturday night. Florence and the Machine, despite the evacuation yesterday afternoon, and then they closed Lollapalooza early yesterday. Florence and the Machine still got their set in last night with real life lightning, you know, storms going on.
There any damage to the machine?
No, the machine apparently was turned out okay.
And the Florence and the Machine is Flo from Progressive, right? That's the same one.
No, Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch.
Oh, I'm just so confused.
She rocks. She rocks.
You've got some Snoop Dogg news when we come back, some Ghostbusters news, the weekend box office, and is this Meryl Streep movie going to be any good? All coming up. If you want to pay property taxes in Cook County, we have an update on the appeal process coming up this morning. Stand by for that. Dean, we have breaking entertainment news.
Uh-oh.
And this is not news about the world of entertainment. This is just a really entertaining story.
Oh, I love those.
Okay. Clinton, Massachusetts, a hen owned by a Massachusetts woman who specializes in chicken rehabilitation and rescue.
Who knew there was such a thing?
Is getting fitted with a prosthetic leg at Tufts University's Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine. Andrea Martin of Clinton, Massachusetts, tells a newspaper there she's paying for the $2,500 operation out of her own pocket. She says the alternative is euthanization. What? Euthanize a chicken?
No.
The chicken's name Cecily. It was born with a damaged tendon in the leg. Well, those aren't tasty. Can I get the 6 damaged tendons? The surgery will begin with Emi Nafo, a specialist in avian orthotics.
What's the name?
Doesn't matter. After a 10 to 14 day recovery period, the prosthetic made on a 3D printer will be fitted, and the chicken will have a new leg.
Wow.
It's got to be an Onion story. Is this real, O?
It's apparently real. It's carried on Reuters this morning, and really makes me wonder about the mental capability of some people. The chicken is going to die in a couple years anyway, and you're going to spend $2,500 when there are starving people in the world.
Now, even if this woman has performed or formed some sort of bond with this chicken and believes the chicken responds, in that tiny chicken brain, who is she to him? She's feed.
Yeah, that's right.
She just bring me the feed.
Yeah, that's all she... Yeah. It's all the chicken wants.
Yeah. Chicken going to be all right, Uncle Steve?
Well, you know, it's funny.
Steve Cocker's animal stories.
You know, we haven't done the box office yet. We've got to talk about Ghostbusters. The new vacation movie's out, and who's the star of that?
Did you see it? Ed Helms.
Ed Helms is on, and I was thinking of you because whenever you have to review a movie that, you know, you're not fond of, there's nobody better than you. You know, it's a movie that you've seen, and you have to play nice with
me
the star.
When I interview them, and they never know how much I hated their movie because I'm polite to them.
I believe
I don't sit down and go, "Boy, your movie was awful."
No, that's probably not the way to go.
Let's have a nice chat.
I believe Ed Helms and Jimmy Kimmel had a conversation before the appearance last week, and they knew the movie was awful because Ed Helms brought a llama and a chicken stage with him.
Yeah, diversion 101.
Right,
yeah.
You bring out something else to talk about, and then you just show the clip at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, good luck to the chicken Cecily. And let's go back to Ghostbusters. What's happening
They're making this new all-female Ghostbusters in Boston right now. And just over the weekend, in costume, in their Ghostbusters costumes, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, the entire cast, goes to a children's hospital and just tours around a children's hospital. And brightened up the day of a lot of people.
Oh, that's very nice.
Nice story.
That's very nice.
And typical, I've interviewed all of them, typical of them, just really nice, down-to-earth people.
Great.
Not a bit surprised at that.
The weekend box office numbers, I suppose, were all Tom Cruise?
Huge Tom Cruise numbers, $56 million. This is the biggest Tom Cruise opening for a movie in over 10 years. He's had, I wouldn't say duds along the way, but this is his biggest one since War of the Worlds back in 2005. And it's a fantastic movie. It's just through the roof. Everyone giving it great reviews. Everybody having good things to say about this. Vacation, just in comparison, came in a distant second with only $14 million. And then,
how'd the llama do?
The llama apparently got lost in the shuffle somewhere along the way in the weekend box office. Vacation, Ant-Man, Minions, and the very awful Adam Sandler movie, Pixels, rounding out the top five.
And my man in the news as well in Italy, SNOOPDOWG. What's wrong with Snoop Dogg?
I've included this just because I know you love a good Snoop Dogg story. Because last week I told you how
we were college roommates.
He got stopped.
We were at Tufts. He was majoring in chicken orthotics. Orthopedics or whatever it was.
That would explain some of the secondary things that I wonder about you some of the time. He was stopped at in Sweden last week on suspicion of drug use. As you pointed out, I would be suspicious if there was not drug use involved. Over the weekend, he was stopped at an airport in Italy because apparently he was carrying $422,000 in cash with him on his private jet.
Do we know why he needed that amount of money?
He claims that was money that he had just been accumulated along the way while he was doing some concerts in Europe.
He did get paid in cash?
Happened to have almost $500,000 in cash. There is an $11,000 limit on how much money can legally be taken out of the country. So the Italian police confiscated quite a bit of it. They confiscated over $200,000 as, quote, part of the investigation. And there will be more on this once they try to determine. They're worried about the money being money from laundering.
Yeah, sure.
That's why they have this law. So they're
laundering money means it's money spent buying a chain of laundromats,
new shirts, of clean shirts.
Yes. That's SNOOPDOWG's in trouble.
No comment from his camp shizzle.
Yes. All right. And finally, is this Meryl Streep movie going to be any good?
I saw it already.
Oh, you did? But you can't review it.
I can't give you an official review. That would be against the critic law. But I can't tell you that I liked it. I'll tell you that much. She plays an aging rock and roll singer in this movie who goes back to try to reconcile the family that she left many years ago when she went to pursue her music dreams. So Meryl Streep is quite great in this movie, and she co-stars. In this movie, she does her own singing.
Just like in the ABBA movie that you love.
Just Mamma Mia. Meryl Streep was not my biggest problem with the Mamma Mia ABBA movie, but she does do her own singing in this, and she learned to play guitar in this movie as well, co-starring with Rick Springfield, you know, of Jesse's Girl fame, Don't Talk to Strangers. So when I sat down with both of them over the weekend, I asked Rick Springfield if he could, in front of Meryl Streep, review her musical performance.
How do you review Meryl on her her rock, you know, performance?
La 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 la.
She was amazing. It was incredible to watch her. Because I said before, but to play, sing, and do it in character, in a separate other character, it's incredibly brave and incredibly difficult, and she completely pulled it off.
I was mortified to just begin. Beginning is hard.
It
you
is.
Know? But these guys were so generous with their knowledge and tolerant, you know, of all the mistakes, because you make a mistake on an acoustic guitar, it's one thing, but... Yeah, it rings out to the club, baby.
Give me the beat, Lord, to free my soul. There's a little bit of Meryl Streep doing the old Dobie Gray song.
I'm getting word now that it was not Meryl Streep. It was Daniel Day-Lewis playing Meryl Streep.
He can do anything.
He really can. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
See you later.
We'll get back here with the big story in just a second. And before we're done again, the Cook County commissioners on your real estate property taxes. And we'll find out if, in fact, they have, what was the failure rate? 60% or
60
something?
60 to 70%
of the appeals get approved.
They're overturned on appeal.
That doesn't seem like that makes sense.
They're lowered on appeal.
All right, it's 8:30. Big story next, 720 WGN.
Now, back to more Steve Cochran.
All right, 8:42, and Bill and Wendy on at 9. Cook County Board of Review Commissioner Dan Patlick standing by. The Cook County Board of Review opens its 2015-2016 property tax appeal session today. And good morning, Commissioner. How are you?
Hey, Steve. How you doing? And great to be on the show.
Appreciate you coming on. I know you got a press conference here coming up in a few minutes. All right. So the property tax assessment appeal session goes for how long?
Well, last year we finished in April, although we took our last appeals in mid-January. Of course, the volume we have is in the hundreds of thousands. So from the time we take our last set of appeals to the time we actually finish adjudicating the cases usually takes a couple of months.
I was surprised at the percentage of appeals that are actually successful. What do you quantify it at?
Well, you know, I started working at the Board of Review back in 1999 as an analyst, long before I was a commissioner. And even back then, I think the rate of reductions was around 54% that year. It's gone up and down from year to year, but I would say it's always been above 50%.
And there has to be a few that are patently ridiculous where people would appeal them just because they were going for a number. How do you decide which are specious appeals versus legitimate ones?
Well, we decide everything based on the evidence. Now, if you're a residential property owner and you submit evidence, typically most residential property owners will appeal based on what we call lack of uniformity, which simply means that your house versus other similar houses in the neighborhood is assessed higher. You know, if you can make a compelling case that is true, there's a good chance that we would grant a reduction. On the other hand, if you're right in the mix, if you're about average, chances are you're not going to get a reduction at the Board of Review. If it's a commercial or industrial property, most of those properties will submit evidence about their income and expense, and they may submit an appraisal. And we're going to look at that real close before we decide what we're going to do on that.
Is there an appeal to an appeal if somebody doesn't like your ruling?
There is an additional place you can go to, actually two. If you're unhappy with the decision of the Board of Review, you can file an appeal with a state agency called the Property Tax Appeal Board, or you can choose to go to circuit court.
And is there any order in which these are reviewed? In other words, if I get my paperwork in the next few days, am I likely to be seen sooner or have it seen sooner than folks who wait a while?
Well, once we open the board for our session, which we're doing today, we open by township. So we usually open with a group of townships. And if you don't mind, we've got 8 townships that are opening today. I'd like to name those off
for
your listeners. Berwyn, Calumet, Cicero, Lamont, Norwood Park, Oak Park, River Forest, and Riverside are the 8 townships that we're opening today. The last date for filing an appeal for those 8 townships is September 1st. On August 17th, we're going to open up several more, and we haven't quite decided which ones, but I can tell you they will include at least Bremen, Elk Grove, Palos, and Rogers Park. The last date you can file an appeal for those will be September 15th. Now, what your listeners need to know, though, is you can pre-file. So even if your township isn't open today, you can go online. You can go to our website at cookcountyboardofreview.com, and you can file. You can pre-file your appeal even if your township is not open.
Dan, a question for you. Is there a way to make the process more uniform when it comes to condo buildings? Because I know last time we spoke to somebody from the office, they said, you know, it varies so much. There are so many condos within, you know, a square block area or radius in the city of Chicago that, you know, you can have a smaller condo than, say, the building next door and be paying more.
Well, you know, I can't answer as to how the assessor might assess different condos. I can tell you here at the Board of Review, when someone appeals a condominium, we're going to look at sales data within that condominium building, and that sales data is going to drive our decision, Andrea.
So going forward on this, and I don't want to get stuck on this point, but I'm still a little confused by it, the appeal number, the success in the appeal number seems really high. In a time when government spending is, you know, at a premium, is there any way to get that appeal number down? And then is there any way to give better tools to the appraisers so they get closer to the number that wins?
Well, I suppose, you know, you got to remember something. Here in Cook County, it's the second largest county in America. And so the Cook County assessor who assesses all property in Cook County, he uses what's called a mass appraisal system. And as a result of that, There are a lot of errors along the way. It's not like in townships outside of Cook County where you have township assessors assessing a much smaller number of properties, and they probably have a better chance to do a little bit better job. But I can tell you that any taxpayer out there who thinks that their assessment is higher than it ought to be does have a great opportunity to appeal at the Board of Review. They can submit their evidence electronically. We have a brand new system called the Digital Appeals Processing System, and they can submit that evidence online. Or if they don't want to work with a computer, they can submit it on paper, and they can either have their appeal looked at based on what they've submitted, or they can ask for a hearing. They can actually come to the Board of Review and talk to an analyst and explain why they think they're overassessed.
And as this process goes forward, when you speak of evidence, again, just to reiterate this, it basically just refers to comps in the real estate world, right? How is this similar to yours? Show those in regards to paperwork on those being of a certain value compared to yours.
Well, I would say between 90 and 95% of all residential appeals are based on, as I mentioned, lack of uniformity. However, if someone wants to submit an appraisal, we're going to take a close look at that. If someone has recently purchased, and that is within the last 3 years, their own residential property, we're going to use the purchase price. That's going to be have a lot of weight on what we make a decision on. And if they think there's an error in the description of the property, in particular, the square footage where the assessor has the wrong number, perhaps the assessor says the property's 1,500 square feet, but it's really 1,000 square feet, what that means is that property owner is paying 50% more on the building portion of their assessment. So if they want to come to us and present evidence about an error on the description of the property, we can make a correction there as well.
Last thoughts from you, Andrea, before we go forward? Just the website again?
Website again. I mean, I would encourage, as Dan said too, that everybody should appeal, you know, because the worst they could say is no.
Well, Steve and Andrea, one thing I do want to mention is when you go to cookcountyboardofreview.com, you can either register as a guest or you can open an account. And I want to encourage everyone to open an account, because if you register as a guest, all you really get to do is file your appeal. If you've got your evidence ready, you can file that as well. But then once you're done, if you want to file further evidence, you have to actually mail it in. If you open an account, not only can you file additional evidence at a later date, but also once you get your decision, you can go into your account, you can look at your file, and you can see the notations and the evidence that were used by the analysts who made a decision on your case. And that's a big improvement, because in the past, people always had to come downtown and actually ask to look at their paper file.
It does seem like a lot of work, Commissioner. Maybe we just go with the honor system going forward.
Well, I want to assure your listeners that if they don't submit any evidence, that is the residential property owners, our analysts are instructed to automatically do a uniformity analysis. And if they find that the property is not uniform, they will grant the reduction that's due that taxpayer.
All right. Go talk to some other reporters. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Stephen, Andrea.
There you go. Dan Patlak. And, you know, he's a nice guy, and he makes good sense. And I guess I'm hung up on that one singular point, but, you know.
The percentage you're talking about.
Yeah, the 60 to 70%. The system is what it is.
Right. And that's why I said, too, I mean, just appeal it. Because, again, the worst they'll say is no, and you're going to be stuck paying what you owe anyway. But this way it could get it down a little bit.
Yeah.
If 60 to 70% of the appeals are overturned, those are pretty good odds.
But when you do your review or when you show evidence, like you have a beautiful home, you probably shouldn't go into the Cook County Board of Review with a picture of an outhouse from Lollapalooza and go, no, I think they're the same. You know, I don't think that's going to work.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kevin?
Yes, we'd like to. And actually, Steve, real quick, before I do the food plug, Dr. Most had called in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you had mentioned earlier you asked him who his favorite brother is.
Yeah, because he plays golf with his brothers all the time.
Yeah, so he wouldn't name his favorite brother, but he did say his favorite sister is Denise.
Oh, okay.
No
well,
doubt
fair.
Her there. So I just want to
clarify. Probably not
that.
The right time for me to say he only has one sister, but that's okay.
He does have one sister, but it's she's his favorite.
There you go. I like Denise very much. She's great. I don't like Kevin very much, but I like her.
Kevin Most, right? Not me.
No, you and the Kevin about to return to the Bill and Wendy show. I like you guys.
Gotcha.
And Dave, you remember we used to do We're Out of Time?
I do remember that. One of my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah, we're out of time, so I don't have time to do this, but I thought you'd be interested in it. A couple of distillers in China are under investigation for spiking their beer with Viagra.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Just the beer part. Mm-hmm. That's the part I thought you'd be interested in.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what would be the point of that?
They claim it's a very healthy drink.
Oh,
when you feel it would make the beer commercials true. You know the beer commercials. Everybody's driving out of jumping out of planes. Mm-hmm. They're skiing. They're boating. Most beer guys I know that drink a lot of beer, they're just fat guys that don't like to move around much after a while. No, not these guys. These guys.
These guys are
buying track shoes for the women in their lives. So, Bill and Wendy are here. Big announcement about, I guess you're finally firing Kevin, your producer, huh?
Why would we fire Kevin?
Well, we waited till he came back from a 2-week vacation.
It's the right way to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he'll be back, and or he is back, I should say.
Kevin is back and has a huge announcement to make that we understand, we've heard from several sources, has already been made.
No.
On several other shows.
Right.
No, but now were you surprised that gender reassignment surgery was not on the table? Because Caitlin and Kevin sound very similar.
Yeah.
And he would be, wouldn't he? He'd be a pretty girl.
Free beef for a year, Steve. 100
All right,
people.
Let's just focus on what Steve just said.
I know.
He would be. He'd be a beautiful girl.
He would be a very, very pretty girl.
Yeah.
He's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to ruin that by putting him in a dress and high heels.
Don't you have to go?
Put him through that.
I had to go 90 seconds ago. See you tomorrow.